Our reading, as I said, is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Last week, I believe, I wasn't here, you talked about the discipline of God. That's why I was away. I thought I'd give that to someone else. Just joking. And this week, we are carrying on with the next part, which is Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 12 to 17, which say this. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather heal. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter roots grow up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected, even though he sought the blessing with tears. He could not change what he had done. I remember during the first lockdown, the boys and I, because you could only go one walk a day, couldn't you? The boys and I discovered Les King Woods. We'd never been in there before. I know, I'm probably the only person in Cottenham that's never been in there. And we would go in there and explore. We'd go our walk, and then one day, one of the boys said to me, oh, can we actually go into the woods, not just on the path? And I was like, oh yeah, why not? What's the worst that could happen? So we started going in the bushes, which, by the way, are mainly thorny things. We were crawling through. I was doubled over trying to get through. And partway through, I thought, this is a bad idea. You know, we're not going to get out of here. Actually, this is a really bad choice. But I kept going because it's an adventure. And so we carried on until we got to a point where actually we couldn't get out. It was a dead end. There were thistles and thorns and everything all around us. Fortunately for me, the boys remembered there was a way out back the way we'd come. And so we doubled back on ourselves and we made it to the path, albeit with a few scrapes and scratches. It was the best day ever, apparently. Good mom. But you know, it's not always possible to do this. It's not always easy to back out of a situation we find ourselves in because of the decisions that we've made. In fact, in some cases, it isn't possible at all. And here in this passage that I read, which follows on from the discipline of God last week, is a warning of such a situation. A warning that speaks to the readers of the day and to us about the importance of how we live our lives for God. And the dangers that we may encounter if we not only walk down, but continue to walk down a path that doesn't feel right. And that in some cases, if we don't watch the decisions that we make and the path we keep walking on, it may be possible to end up in a place where we are stuck and we can do nothing about it. The illustration the author in this passage uses to highlight this point is the story of Esau and Jacob. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with this story, it's found in the book of Genesis at the beginning of the Bible, chapters 25 to 27. And it's the story of two brothers, two twin brothers. Esau, who was the firstborn, was a very hairy boy, it says, and a skillful hunter. And Jacob was quite the opposite. He was second on the scene, he had very smooth skin, and he was content to stay at home among the tents. The boys were born close together, with Jacob holding onto Esau's foot as he came out of the womb. And although they were twins, they grew up as they were born very different from each other. Esau, being the eldest, was given the privilege of birthright. He was the one who would receive all that his father owned. He would inherit. And he would decide what to do with that and how to look after his younger brother, Jacob, and the family of the future. And he would also be the one who would receive his father's blessing when the time came. Now, when the boys were older, when they had grown into men, the story goes that Esau went out hunting one day. And he arrived back exhausted and hungry. And when he arrived, he found Jacob cooking a stew. And on seeing the stew, he was so desperate to eat it that he asked Jacob to give him some. Now, Jacob, being quick thinking, asked Esau to first sell him his birthright, his rights as the eldest child in the family, in exchange for some stew. And Esau, being so hungry that he felt that he was about to die, made the decision to promise to hand over to Jacob his birthright in exchange for a bowl of food. Or if you like, he decided to give away all that he was, all that he had as the eldest son, just so he could eat in that moment. Now, sometime later, Isaac, Esau and Jacob's father, called Esau to him. At this point, he was an old man, he was barely able to see, and he wanted to pass on his blessing to the eldest son. So he asked Esau to go out and to hunt for some wild game and to make a stew and to come back to receive the blessing. But while Esau was out hunting, his mother and his brother Jacob concocted a plan. And while his mother made a delicious stew, Jacob disguised himself as Esau, covering his arms and neck with goat skin and going into his father with the stew to receive his brother's blessing. So that when Esau returned and found that not only was his birthright gone, but also his blessing too, he became distraught. So distraught, in fact, that he pleaded and he cried and he begged his father to bless him too. But Isaac could do nothing. The blessing was gone. The birthright had been handed over long ago. And Esau realized after all the decisions that he made that he had got himself into a situation that he simply could not get out of. Now, it's fair to say that Jacob played a part in the suffering of Esau. But the book of Hebrews focuses on Esau's decision to let go of his precious birthright for a bowl of stew, which set the standard by which Jacob thought he could steal the blessing as well, resulting in the end in a path that not only destroyed Esau for a long time, but also ignited a bitterness and a division in the family that they barely recovered from. And so in pointing to this story in the passage in Hebrews, this story of Esau and Jacob becomes a cautionary tale for the readers of the letter, urging them and urging us as we read to heed the warnings of Esau. Not in terms of the details in the story, of course, but in terms of how we treat the life that God has given us, the blessings that he pours out on us, and the birthright we have as his children, and warning us that instead of taking this life God has given us for granted and thinking it will always be there, whether we pay attention to it or not, to instead see it as a precious gift to be looked after and protected. So that rather than falling into the pattern of Esau, who cared so little for his birthright that he chose to give it away, leaving him in a place he could not return from, we are urged to stay alert and protect and grow what God has given us, to strengthen feeble arms and weak knees, as it says in this passage, to make level paths for our feet, not to keep doing something because we're too tired to make any changes in our life, or to shrug our shoulders even though we know something is not right about the way we're living, but instead to seek to make changes, to seek to make things right, so that we don't become disabled by our decision and our life choices, but rather we are healed and we are made whole. Because as the story of Esau shows, the decisions we make in our walk with God not only affect us as individuals, but they also affect the family in which we live, our church family, those who walk with us on this journey towards God, either creating a strong, united family, living out our roles and supporting each other through good and bad, or a divided family who seek their own personal agendas over and above the unity that God desires for. And so the writer of the Hebrews urges us while we can, before we find ourselves in a place we cannot turn back from, to make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Or if you like, to seek after God's way and to seek after them together as a united body. Not simply keeping ourselves to ourselves as we work out our own personal faith, so that no one knows the decisions that we make and the paths that we choose to follow, and we're left vulnerable and tired, with weak knees and feeble arm. But instead, seeking the things of God together, making level paths by praying for each other, by sharing with each other, by seeking the truth with each other, and by standing alongside one another through thick and thin. So that instead of finding ourselves in a place we cannot get back from, not really understanding what it is to know the grace of God and the blessings he longs to give us, we live as people who have not only received this gift of grace, this birthright, but also as those who know how precious it is. Because as the book of 1 Peter says about us, we are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instrument to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for us, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. This is who we are, a holy people, people set apart for God. But this is also who we need to continue to work at being, not becoming complacent or misguided, Not leaving others behind because we're impatient. Not opting out of moving forward because we're comfortable with where we're at. But seeking together to be God's people and guarding and growing the life he's given us day in, day out, for the rest of our life. Of course, this is not something that we do in our own strength. The writer to the Hebrews isn't telling us to work really hard at something and then we'll succeed. He's telling us that actually God is here to strengthen our arms. God is here to give us the strength we need to live. And so we're going to enter communion in a few moments, knowing that our strength comes from the sacrifice that Jesus made so that we can be part of his family, so that we can be united together. In that passage that we read in Hebrews, it refers to Isaiah chapter 35, which says this: strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling spring. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. One day things will be perfect. No more sorrow, no more pain. But at the moment we walk along the pathway of God, the highway that God has crossed to, and we walk in his strength. So as we come to communion, let's just pause for a moment and think about the paths that we're walking, the decisions that we make following God, and bring our lives before him in a moment. If we go a few verses back, we'll remember the words of Hebrews that says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured this cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose. Let us. May God bless us and keep us. May he walk with us along the road that we walk, and may we realise that not only does he walk with us, but he walks with every single one of us, part of a family of God, children who walk together. And may God be with us each day from now on. Amen. I hear feet. For those of you online, I turned because I heard the feet of the children coming down. Oh, here we are. I might have to put my mask on.